on board.
Geologist Peter Heusler peeks his head out of a cabin hatch on his 45-foot aluminum-hulled sailing boat, the Mucho Gusto. It's home-ported in Wrangell.
The dog's name is Happy.
Hi, Happy.
Heusler lives in Anchorage, but has spent 3 decades researching the rocks of Southeast.
I think the fascinating part of geology is that you end up looking at the landscape in the world through a very different set of eyeglasses than I think a lot of other people do.
And that set of eyeglasses is what Heusler calls deep time, events on a scale that dwarfs human lifetimes or even civilizations.
You know, I think it's really easy for people to think about time in terms that we know and we experience, which is, you know, it's spring now and, you know, getting over winter. It's going to be warm in the summer.
Human time spans pale in comparison to geologic ones, Heusler says. He says to really understand geology, you've got to think not in terms of tens or hundreds of years, but thousands to millions of years.
When I look at the landscape around here, I often think of what it was like maybe 25,000 years ago when there was ice filling all of these valleys and over the tops of most of the mountains, and just thinking what a different world it was at that point. Or when looking at, say, some of the older rocks in Southeast Alaska, I mean, it seems as if most of Southeast Alaska is a piece that came from somewhere else, and trying to think about the probably warm tropical environments that it came from on the order of 400 million years ago, and it was out in the middle of the ocean. Pretty different.
Southeast Alaska, Heusler says, is geologically unique. The region's history is less as a part of a huge landmass experiencing slow continental drift, but as a smaller, more mobile chunk of crust. Think of island areas like the South Pacific or around Japan. What's now Southeast Alaska, called the Alexander Terrain by geologists, probably started out near the equator. At least that's as far back as geologists have any idea, based on fossils here.
And then it moved around, and then it had collisions with other little pieces and chunks, and then finally really got crunched up against the North American margin, probably in Cretaceous time. It would have been during the time of, you know, the big meat-eating dinosaurs, or maybe a little before. And then it was probably at some latitude a bit south of this. We don't really know exactly how far, and then it got sort of slivered northward along the North American margin, such that it ended up getting parked here today.
There's another especially interesting geological history in the northernmost part of Southeast. A piece of crust born off the coast of Oregon and Washington sliced its way up the margin of Alaska and has been smashing into the Yakutat area for around 30 million years.
And that's why there's the big mountains of the St. Elias Mountains and the Fairweather Range, and it's even had larger scale effects into interior Alaska. And we probably wouldn't have Denali in the Alaska Range if it weren't for this big piece of crust punching into the southern Alaska margin.
It's not the only major earth-changing factor in the area. Offshore, there's a fault called the Queen Charlotte Fairweather Fault. Heusler says it's similar to the better-known San Andreas Fault along the west coast, but it's more active.
And in some ways, the Queen Charlotte is like the San Andreas, but it's on steroids. It moves a lot faster, it's exceedingly sharp, it's produced more big earthquakes in a shorter period of time. So it's a very impressive fault system.
The Queen Charlotte Fairweather Fault is a strike-slip fault where two tectonic plates are moving past each other in opposite directions. It's moving at a whopping 5.3 centimeters per year, the length of a small lime. But compared to the San Andreas Fault moving about two-thirds that distance each year, maybe the length of a grape, it's quite quick. Heusler says fast faults tend to produce more and bigger earthquakes. The fault is visible north of Icy Point in Glacier Bay National Park. That's where the fault runs on land, while the rest of it is underwater.
If you're on an Alaska Airlines flight from Juneau to Anchorage and it's a clear day, you can see that fault as this giant groove through the landscape because it's moving.
The glacial history of Southeast is also unique. With tons and tons of ice sitting on top of what's now the Inside Passage, the land got forced down, while on the outer coast, it buckled upwards.
Maybe it's a little bit like, you know, I don't know if you had a fat uncle that sat next to you on the couch when you were a kid, but the ice sheet was a little bit like the fat uncle that had sort of sat down on things. And then if you were in, you know, next to him on the couch, then you're about to be flipped up in the air because you know, things go up at the other part of the weight. So then when the uncle gets up off the couch, then you go back down.
Heusler says now that the glaciers have retreated significantly back onto the mainland, the Earth's crust is rebounding. Sites that used to be shoreline near Wrangell are now hundreds of feet in the air, while ancient coastlines on the outer coast are slowly sinking. Heusler says he made his way to geology through rock climbing.
And then at some point, I got interested into what were these things that I was holding on to, and then that also got into like just wanting to understand the landscape around you.
Heusler says geology was what first drew him to Alaska. He first visited for a geology field camp while in undergrad at Michigan State.
That was my first visit to Alaska, and I thought it'd be like, oh, you know, just sort of a one-off, you know, like that was an interesting experience and go to do other things. But like for so many of us in Alaska, Alaska gets its claws in you and then it doesn't let go.
While at the University of California, Santa Cruz for graduate school, he proposed to study again in Southeast.
In my mind, I had thought that, oh, you know, what Alaska is more like, you know, kind of the region between Anchorage and Fairbanks and not Southeast Alaska. But anyway, looking at the issues that the scientific things that were worthwhile to study, it was ones down here in Southeast Alaska.
While Southeast residents can't usually sit and watch rocks move, there are consequences for communities living in geologically tumultuous zones. For example, the fast-moving Queen Charlotte Fairweather Fault poses major potential seismic hazards to people living in Southeast.
It's maybe a little less important for a community like Wrangell that's some distance away from it. But if you're at Sitka, let's say, or Elfin Cove, you know, you're really close to it, and ground motions from something like that are something that need to be considered in, you know, when building buildings, that kind of thing.
But it's not just the earthquakes that are a potential hazard. Heusler points to a 1958 earthquake on the Fairweather Fault. It's maybe most famous for causing a rock fall in Lituya Bay, which hit the water and created a mega tsunami.
That is still the world's highest world record tsunami run-up that went 1,740 feet, splashed up that hillside, then out the bay.
Landslides both on land and in the water can trigger massive tsunamis with potentially devastating effects. Heusler says the majority of fatalities from the 1964 magnitude 9.2 earthquake in Prince William Sound were from tsunamis generated by underwater landslides, not from the earthquake itself.
And the geology of that part of the coastline is actually very similar to Southeast Alaska, that you can imagine that it would happen.
Heusler says work like his goes toward mitigating hazards through things like seismic hazard maps, which help dictate where and to what standard new construction happens.
The hazard is going to be there no matter what. So if you had an earthquake in the middle of nowhere and it does all these horrible things but nobody's there, then it doesn't matter. So actually one example of that from Southeast Alaska is in 2015, there was another one of these big landslides from up in Ton Fjord. It was in October, and then it went down, hit the water, made the fourth largest tsunami run-up ever recorded, and then went out the bay, and nobody even knew it happened. It, like, you know, there was nobody there. So there was a hazard, but there was zero risk because there was nobody there.
Besides his boat being in Wrangell, Heusler is in town to give a presentation at the invitation of Sylvia Edifaw, the organizer of Wrangell's annual Bear Fest celebration of late summer bear season. It's not bear season now, but Edifaw says Bear Fest is trying to expand its educational and cultural offerings beyond the confines of the five-day festival.
Part of the goal for Bear Fest is education. That's one of our missions. And to bring information so that Wrangell can expand its knowledge base of the area in which it lives. And geology is part of that mix. If you know how your area was formed and what's involved geologically in your area, you have a better understanding of where you live.
Heusler says he's planning to talk about the basics of plate tectonics and the geological history of Alaska, as well as his recent research into earthquakes and tsunamis.
I can talk a lot, or I could try to answer any question that somebody puts to me.
He says in presenting his work to the public, his goal is to give people a better sense for how the geologic world around us got to where it is today, and to leave people with a sense of wonder about the epic history of the Earth right in their own communities. In Wrangell, I'm Sage Smiley.